From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for Let the Bible Speak today. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, Be in Time, part of this series in the book of Joshua. For this message, Dr. Cairns has returned to chapter 13 and verse 1, where the Lord said to Joshua, Thou art old and stricken in years. Joshua had been chosen by God to succeed Moses as the leader of the children of Israel in the task of conquering the land of Canaan. He had been faithful in carrying out his task, but now his work was at an end. In making a spiritual application of this passage, Dr. Cairns is giving the sober reminder that time is running out for every person now living. For the unsaved, this means that their time to come to Christ is rapidly slipping away. The Bible says, Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Before a person can do anything for Christ, he must first have a saving relationship with the Lord. Then those who are born again are exhorted to serve the Lord now, for death will spell the opportunity to do anything for God in this life. In the light of these truths, how important it is for believers of every age and station in life to determine that they are going to serve the Lord today. Dr. Cairns will return to the message shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 8. The myrtle trees that were in the bottom. The vision in this chapter describes the condition of Israel in Zechariah's day. But being interpreted in its aspect towards us, it describes the church of God as we find it now in the world. The church is compared to a myrtle grove flourishing in a valley. It is hidden, unobserved, secreted, courting no honor and attracting no observation from the careless gazer. The church, like her head, has a glory, but it is concealed from carnal eyes, for the time of her breaking forth in all her splendor is not yet come. The idea of tranquil security is also suggested to us, for the myrtle grove in the valley is still and calm while the storm sweeps over the mountain summits. Tempests spend their force upon the craggy peak of the Alps, but down yonder where flows the stream which maketh glad the city of our God, the myrtles flourish by the still waters, all unshaken by the impetuous wind. How great is the inward tranquillity of God's church! Even when opposed and persecuted, she has a peace which the world gives not, and which therefore it cannot take away. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keeps the hearts and minds of God's people. Does not the metaphor forcibly picture the peaceful, perpetual growth of the saints? The myrtle sheds not her leaves, she is always green. And the church in her worst time still has a blessed verdure of grace about her. Nay, she has sometimes exhibited most verdure when her winter has been sharpest. She has prospered most when her adversities have been most severe. Hence the text hints at victory. The myrtle is the emblem of peace, and a significant token of triumph. The brows of conquerors were bound with myrtle and with laurel. And is not the church ever victorious? Is not every Christian more than a conqueror through him that loved him? Living in peace, do not the saints fall asleep in the arms of victory?
Once for all the Savior paid redemption's price. When upon the cross he made the sacrifice, hear his words of triumph sounding from the tree. Hear his shout sounding of victory. sins a scarlet, they shall be as snow. For the blood of Christ is stronger than your foe. He has won the battle, let us all rejoice. Praise his name, tell his fame, hear his voice. It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, through God's own Son. It is finished, glory, hallelujah. It is finished, the victory is won.
Jesus Christ has died, salvation is complete. Follow to his cross and worship at his feet. Listen to his shout resounding far and near. Still it's heard, trust his word, never fear.
Though the battle rages, we may rest secure. With the King of heaven, victory is sure. Down the halls of time, his words forever ring. Hear his voice, make your choice, crown him King. It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, through God's own Son. It is finished, glory, hallelujah. It is finished.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week. Thank you.
What is it that God lays to your hand as the most important thing in this world? It is to flee from wrath to come. Not amble. Flee from wrath to come. It's the most important thing. Do it then. Give all your attention to it. Do not be diverted from it. Don't let anything else come in and take your mind for a second onto anything else. This is the vital thing. Death will take that opportunity from you forever. How good is our God? Every time I read the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, I marvel at the kindness of God. He's standing with Cain, a reprobate, wretched, wicked sinner. And he gives him the opportunity to repent. And he points it out very clearly to him. Cain, there's the way. If you'll take it, you'll be received. I want to tell you, that's the mercy that God shows to every other Cain. But you can waste that opportunity. Life at best is very brief. Just like the falling of a leaf or the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Because death is coming. And as soon as it cuts you off, it finishes your opportunity forever to be saved. And it finishes your opportunity to serve. I know that our influence lives on after us, for good or for ill. But Paul tells me that we are to be redeeming the time or the opportunity. He tells me it's high time to awake out of sleep. Why? Because whatever I'm to do for God in this world, I'm going to do it before I die. That's a thought that's never far from my mind. I don't mean to be morbid about this, but you've heard me say many times, I started preaching as a very young man. God called me as a 20-year-old, and given the circumstances of the ministry of the Free Church, while I was still a student, at 20 years old, I was placed in charge of a small church, and have been preaching and evangelizing ever since. Many a time when I go before God to pray about this work, and my part in this work, and the future of this work, I realize no matter how long I live, no matter how long I preach, the greater part of my ministry is gone. I look back in those years and there are things that I would love to have done better. There are people that I would love to have been able to preach to better and witness to better. But they're dead and gone, and I'll never do it. I look at this congregation and I pray over it and pray for the ministry here, and many and many a time as I cry to God to move across these pews, I lift up the prayer of the psalmist in the 89th Psalm. And I cry, my God, remember how short my time is. God is not bound by days and weeks and months and years. I know that. But I am. I am. And in a little window of opportunity, God has given me the privilege to serve Him. God, give me grace to do it. You're a Christian today. You have an opportunity to serve your God. Seek Him. Serve Him. Give Him all you are and all you have. The Savior's worth it all. The service that He gives you is worth it all. Tell me, the things that so divert you from serving the Savior, how will they appear in your deathbed? How will they appear when you're standing before God? I wonder what difference it would make in the way you would live if you knew this week will be the last week I have on earth. I wonder what a convulsion it would cause in your life. Let me tell you, death spells the end of opportunity to be saved or opportunity to serve. So set out today. Let me make this very simple and blunt appeal to you. If you're not a Christian here today, don't leave those doors without Christ. Don't go out of this building on the road to hell. Jesus says, "Come unto me," and He means it. I've quoted His words, "Repent and believe the gospel." He means what He says. Paul the Apostle said to a man on the edge of suicide, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." I would urge you to come. And having come, I would urge you to serve. And here's an encouraging thing from the text, that saints of every age have a vital role in the service of God. I think of Joshua here. Joshua had done many great things for God over a prolonged period of time. He had served Him as a young man. As a young man, he had not departed out of the tabernacle. As a young man, he had been Moses' minister. As a young man, he had given all his energy and all his health and his strength and his life to the service of his Savior. God had used him. Now he's an old man. But the Lord is saying, "Joshua, you still have an important place of service to fill." The fact was that he couldn't do what once he did. I pointed out last week that this verse was saying to Joshua, "Your battle days are over. Never again will you lead the army out into the field of battle." A man who's over 100 years old, sure that he can't do what he used to do. But that was no excuse for not doing anything. The Lord was saying to him very clearly, "Joshua, what you used to do is now beyond you, but there is a work for you to do." It's a very vital work. Can I say this to you today? That whatever your age group, if you're a Christian, there is a vital role for you to fulfill. You remember in 1 John chapter 2 that John repeatedly addresses himself to the little children, then to the fathers, and then to the young men. You may take this as a reference to stages of spiritual development, and it would be true, but I think you can also apply it to stages in natural development. The Lord speaks to the children. Can God even use a little child who's devoted to Him? Does the Scripture not assure us a little child shall lead them? Is it not often true that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, God has ordained praise? I tell you, I have seen little children go in and witness for Christ where adults would not be accepted. I think of a woman who's now with Christ. One of the loveliest ladies I think Joan and I ever got to know. Very upright woman, even before she was saved. You'd have thought to look at her, here's a Christian, but she wasn't a Christian. And unlike church-going upright people who are not saved, she was not self-righteous either. She recognized that she was not going to heaven by her good works. She was not a self-righteous Pharisee. And I think it would be fair to say that perhaps the first thing that really moved her heart, started her on the road that brought her to Christ, was when her sister's little boy heard her singing a hymn. I think it was about heaven. In all innocence, he just went to her and he asked her, are you going to heaven? Are you saved? Remorsefully, she said, no, son, I'm not. That little boy couldn't point her to Christ. Though he did the best he could, he said, will you come to our church and our minister can show you how to be saved and how to get to heaven. God can use the words of a child. Then the young man. God has given you health and strength and youthful vitality. He's saying, young man, use it for Christ. This is a period of the year when young people are graduating from high school or they're graduating from college and they're thinking of careers. I am not one of those preachers who believes that you can't do the will of God unless you're going into the ministry to be a preacher or a missionary. I don't believe that for a moment. But what I do believe very sincerely, and I believe scripturally, is that whether God calls you to be a preacher, or God calls you to be a baker, or God calls you to be a shop attendant, or an airline pilot, or whatever, wherever He sends you to serve Him, He calls you to be a Christian. He calls you to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have known men who have gone out into the business world, some at a corporate level, some into a very ordinary, sometimes even menial job, but they have gone out to speak of Christ. They've gone out to let their light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. They would lose a contract before they would lose their testimony. They would lose a business deal. They would suffer themselves to be defrauded of money before they would lose their testimony. Just so that they would keep the doors open to be a minister in the truest sense, a servant of Christ, a witness of the Savior. I tell you, young man, young woman, wherever you go, you have a role to fill, a job to do.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.